Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, episode 53. I'm Janice Cutting.
And I'm Michelle Molloy-Dillon, and Janice and I are here with Margaret Katz-Kann. Margaret is the founder of MKC Coach, where she works with nonprofit clients. She is also a former VP of Philanthropic Services at the Community Foundation in Boulder County in Boulder, Colorado. And she was there for over 20 years, where she helped them earn tons and tons of money. And Margaret and I have known each other for many years. So in my previous incarnation, my previous career, I was a photographer and I did a lot of work with the Community Foundation. So Margaret and I have known each other for a long, long time. So we're thrilled to have her here. Welcome, Margaret.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. So you wrote this week a great blog post called "Is Your Money Story Affecting Your Ask?" And it's such a relevant thing right now. Our stories are such a relevant thing right now. The world has shifted in the last week or so.
We're entrenched in COVID-19. Michelle is not where she normally is today. We might sound a bit different. Margaret has been kind enough to play with us and create in the chaos that we're all kind of living in, because the world is changing by every hour. So yeah, it felt like this was an important conversation that suddenly became even more important.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're always all creating stories in every minute. So tell us a little bit about your curiosity and diving into the money story, Margaret.
Sure. Well, in the work that I do, when I work with people who raise money for a living but really don't enjoy it, or if they are speaking frankly and privately, will share with you that they would rather have a root canal than make an ask. There's a lot of pain there. There's a lot of pain. And as I have kind of dug a little bit deeper into that with lots of my clients, I'm really learning that we all get these messages about money, and we develop a relationship about money. And those usually come from your family, primarily your family, sometimes community, often church, and other religious affiliations. And usually those stories aren't pretty. Usually those stories are just in a place of scarcity and shame around money. And what I'm learning is that when people kind of carry that they still believe in those stories from childhood, that they don't make a very compelling ask, you know, that they are heavy with it. And that takes away from them being lit up about what they're talking about and who they're talking to.
Yeah, the way you talk about it, Margaret, it's like our story around money, if it's not a good story, can have this weight around money, even if it impacts the usefulness of money.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I think people have all these narratives about how money flows or doesn't flow. So for example, and I give some examples in the post, but if you were taught that you have to earn everything, somehow if you're an executive director and you are making an ask, you forget that your nonprofit is actually earning, because they're doing work. People are paying you for the work that you're doing, but it gets translated into, your six-year-old who doesn't get the new, pair of shoes without earning them. There are no Nikes for you. And so there's a weird energy that they bring into their fundraising house.
Yeah.
And it's, it's one of the things that's really interesting about stories is they seem really true to us. Like, they don't seem like a story. They seem like the truth. So I'm curious, how do you help people? Because that's tricky, right? To sort of even shine a light on the fact that, oh, that's actually a story or a perspective that you're holding.
Yeah, I love that question. I mean, do you remember the first time that you left home, and maybe it was to college or camp, and you suddenly started realizing that some of the rules that your family had or the things they sent you to college with were not the same as what other people had? I mean, it's just that. It's hearing people's stories and saying, wow, well, here's somebody else's story, or here's my story, Margaret's story, and it's different from yours, which seems like, okay, that's kind of proof. Like, your story is actually only your story, and mm-hmm. people can start to sometimes see that perspective.
Yeah, and I'm smiling here because I'm currently in Portland, Oregon, picking up my daughter, and she's struggling with her stories right now, right? She's heading back home. They're closing the dorms. They're closing the college. And she's struggling with that because she's going back to her old story. Yeah. And she's not too crazy about it either.
Yeah, that's, yes, that is hard. My deep sympathy for all of those kids who are getting cheated out of some of their campus time.
Yeah, yeah, right. Well, what have been some of the, what are some of the biggest impacts to having a positive story around money when it comes to fundraising?
Yeah, again, I think, you know, donors are, as it turns out, just humans, just like the rest of us, and they have more magnetic pull towards things that are regal, things that have purpose, things that make sense to them, things that, you know, where they hear your story, and it's your story about your nonprofit as opposed to your story about yourself. And they get to understand the flow of their dollars and what's going to be changed. And that feels good. I mean, I don't know that there's research, but my best guess is there's some endorphins or dopamine that happens when they really engage in the flow of dollars. And so I think as fundraisers, if we can really be there and check our stories from our families out the door, we can raise a lot more money and we can have much more happy, engaged donors.
As you're speaking, it's sort of like, as a fundraiser, being the voice of possibility for your donors, so that if there's something that they're personally excited in that, they can also join that story. They can get excited about that possibility with you. So it's sort of co-writing that story together.
It is. It's a little bit of that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that. It's co-writing the story. And it's also working together so that they understand. I mean, if you have money and you go buy a thing, you get to know what that thing is, right? I mean, if you spend money on a car or a bag of chips or whatever it is, you know what you're bringing home. And I think when we check our ick stories and we just focus on the really great work that our nonprofits are doing, our donors get a really clear and clean sense of here's what I am being asked to pay for. Mm-hmm. And they can see it as clearly as the car or the bag of chips.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what are some of the ways in which you help people to access their money stories and uncover them so that they can, you know, write a new one?
Yeah. Well, I think the first step is the wake up call. You know, sometimes pointing out and reflecting back, you know, like, do you hear what you're saying? And do you understand why, you know, this is a really hard perspective from which to raise money? You know, there's another example that I give in the article where somebody, he can't say no to anybody. Like, he's just constitutionally, and he projects that on everybody. And so he doesn't believe that he can ask and somebody can legitimately say, no, this isn't my time or this isn't my cause, and that it's not catastrophic. Like, they can just say, no, thank you. But he doesn't believe that. Mm-hmm. So it's excruciating for him to ask for things because he believes he's coercive or manipulative or, you know, people can't say no. And I get to gently say, oh, actually people can, they can say no to you. You know. But it's just helping people see, right? Like, we project so much of how we are on other people, and I get to reflect back to them sometimes, this is what you see. This isn't how everybody sees it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's such an opportunity in being willing as a fundraiser to have different answers. Like, to hear different answers is what I mean. There's an opportunity at creating something new from that. There's such a, you know, our money stories put us in a place, if they can put us in a place of being reacting, just like you're mentioning this particular person. Like, the reaction is, I can't ask for money because everybody has to say yes and everyone will feel obligated if I even ask. So it feels like a burden.
Yeah,
right.
I think there's another thing that happens there a little bit, which is this idea, you know, when athletes envision or vision ahead, about something good happening, right? I mean, they don't start at their starting line and imagine themselves tripping over the hurdle. They imagine, you know, crossing the finish line for the gold. And I think there's a similar way, like if we bring our money stories in or our stories that people aren't generous or people, you know, can't say no or that this is going to be awkward, you know, we're visioning something that's not turning out well. Even in our imagination, it's not turning out well.
Yeah. And we're, you know, kind of just before we hit record, we were reflecting. I mean, we're in the middle of March right now. So you're going to hear this a little bit later than we're recording. But like, as of today, it's like, it feels like the world is changing by the minute, you know? And so it's, you know, it's like the sense of like, if we don't really acknowledge our money story and know that it exists, I think that like in these times of high stress, even if we've done some work to kind of uncover it and try and move past it, it rears its ugly head again. So, you know, it's sort of like, what do we do now, you know, in this moment in time?
Yeah. Well, I think in addition to whatever child money stories we have, childhood money stories, I think there's a collective money story right now. And there's no part of me that's arguing with the truth of this. You know, it is true that the markets have tanked. It is true that people are facing a lot of economic uncertainty and ruin and a lot of bad things. But again, I don't, you know, if you are working for a nonprofit or an educational institute and you're raising money, I don't think it's your best plan to bring that into your meeting. You know, I mean, the truth is there's still need, there's maybe more need. You're doing the good work at your nonprofit to address that or to, you know, to make things better for people, and that there are still people out there who would like to deploy their resources to be part of the solution. That to me is a better perspective than the sky is falling, even if the sky is falling.
Yeah. Yeah. The sky may be falling and the needs may be greater.
Right. So that doesn't mean exactly.
So the impact of your money can be greater than ever. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Right. Yeah. There's so many different perspectives to see this at. So we really want to encourage our listeners to try to create a perspective and try to create a story that feels really resonant and solid for you as you go out and fundraise in these times. Things are going to look different than they have in the past. And things could be very fulfilling in different ways.
Yeah. And there's, you know, one of the things like that we know as coaches is that sometimes we're so embedded in a perspective, like we literally cannot even comprehend that there is a different way of holding this. And I love what you're saying, Margaret. It's like, we're not trying to say that things aren't happening, but we are trying to say that we do actually have a choice right now to choose how we are going to be with them. And sometimes we default because of our money started to a reactive mode, like you were saying, Michelle, and there's a choice that can be made. Like, what is a creative approach? I've heard a lot of people, like I'm really loving, like a lot of people are like, it is a long game, right? And relationships still exist, you know, like the world might seem unstable, but we certainly know that relationships have not gone away. We, you know, and how do we even lean actually more into in the moment, a sense of gratitude for the relationships we have.
Yeah. And letting people be heroes, right? I mean, when you make a gift to work that's helping humans and the planet, and like, you are a hero. You know, that's a great thing. And that's the opportunity that gets to be offered, rather than, you know, my donor is so anxious about money that they're growing carrots in the backyard and I can't ask. That's not helpful.
Yeah.
Maybe true, yeah, but not helpful.
Right.
Yeah.
So we like to give our listeners something to try. What might be some things you might want to give our listeners to try today, Margaret?
Sure. So I would love to offer sort of an inquiry, which is coaching language for, it's a really big question. It's not a question that you're going to answer in this moment. So it's something to journal about or think about in the shower. So I wanted to give two of those questions and then actually a challenge as your third thing. So the two questions relate to just kind of the wake up call on your own money story. And so question number one is, what did your family teach you about money? And then part two of that question is, and what do you still believe? Mm. Might not strictly be true, but only actually something that you believe. And then my third thing, so that's two questions. And then my third thing that I'd like to offer is just from this conversation, I love the idea of perspectives. And so it's a challenge for anybody who's going to be raising money in the coming weeks to, before you pick up the phone or get on Zoom, I would say walk into lunch, but I don't think there's going to be too much of that. Think, just really get yourself, think about a perspective that is going to be more powerful than the sky is falling before you meet with donors and ask for them to support the great work that you're doing.
Well, I like those questions, Margaret, because it sort of has the opportunity to take us through sort of the history, where we have been with money in our family and whatever stories we've learned in our history, right? Where we are today and right now with the relevance of that, or where we've, you know, discovered that our different stories, there are different stories out there. We've adopted some of those stories out there. Where are we now? And then in the next opportunity that you have to fundraise or to talk with someone, like really be aware before you have that conversation. What's the story we're wanting to create from this opportunity going forward? Like there's an infinite possibility. And so that can really create that. It has to do with our emotional reaction to things, like moving from the reactive story of where we were and then creating what's next. It's a different frame of mind. It's a less triggered frame of mind, and it's creating the kind of world that we want to see in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And the perspective that you have is related to those money stories. And then the invitation is to think about a different perspective.
Yeah, great.
You don't have to stand in only what your family taught you about money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I'm just, the last couple of days I've been doing whatever I can, you know, to reach out to people, like everyone who pops in my mind. Like sometimes I might think, oh, I should email them or call them. And I'm like in overdrive of like, do that, because we all need it, you know, because we are feeling very separated. And so I just really want to appreciate you, Margaret, you know, like for coming here, you know, in this time of uncertainty. And we didn't know where we were going to be, you know, but it's as it always is, it feels like a perfect conversation. And you felt like the perfect person to come and have this conversation with us. So thank you.
Thank you. That means a lot to me.
Yes. Lovely to have you, Margaret. So thank you so much.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
So we are, going to say to everybody in the community, thank you for being in the community, and be well, everyone be well, and do whatever you can to reach out and support each other at this time. And we'll invite you to take that inquiry and perspective shifting exercise and put it into practice. And if you haven't already, we'd love for you to subscribe. We're on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify.
Now go put it into practice.
Bye.